Last week, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos proposed a series of new sexual misconduct policies that would enhance the university and legal protections for students accused of assault, harassment, or rape, and would reduce liability for institutions of higher education and encourage schools to provide more support for victims.
Now, these proposed policies, along with currently implemented Title IX protocols, are sparking protests on campuses around the country. On some campuses, students have decided to take matters into their own hands. I spoke with Jake Henry, a student at the University of California, San Diego. He is leading an effort at UCSD to make student government and university funding for all campus clubs and organizations contingent upon their appointment of mandatory reporters. That means the top leaders of an organization would be required to report sexual assault to the school's Title IX office, but victims would not be required to pursue those charges. Henry's petition has gathered more than 60,000 signatures, and the university's Title IX office supports the move. Henry is a political science major there, so fighting to change policies like this is important to him. But when it comes to sexual assault in particular, he says he didn't choose to get involved in advocating for this issue.
I was led to after essentially I was rushing for a fraternity, and I was assaulted by two guys, and after that essentially gave me motivation to want to fight for sexual assault reform.
But he's facing a lot of opposition as well, especially from many in the Greek life community at his school. But making some student leaders mandatory reporters for Henry, he says, is about the bigger picture.
This allows the Title IX office to get a better picture of assaults that are happening on our campus. Right now we have a clear report, and it has not even loopholes. I say they're gaping holes that essentially allow Greek life to be unaccountable for these incidents. For example, since I was assaulted at a fraternity party, since it was off campus, it essentially is not required to be reported in the Cleary report. And that's a huge problem because it's not allowing people to get a better, like an actual representation of what's happening on our campus.
And that's mainly the reason that the Title IX office there at UCSD has also supported this, right?
Correct. Well, so right now we're basically looking for the best ways to move forward. Right now I just want an agreement that, hey, we're going to take this issue seriously and we actually want to take actions and not just have endless meetings and endless conversations and condolences. So at least we can get a better picture of what's happening. And we can also right now hold people in Greek life or in any clubs that hide this information accountable. Right now I can make arguments for it, but they're not breaking any laws by hiding this information. And I think that's a problem.
You've gotten a lot of pushback about this, particularly from the Greek community there. Many say, though, that requiring reporting, especially by other students, would actually discourage students from coming forward and reporting things like sexual assault and would put those student organizers in the position of someone like a professional counselor or law enforcement, which they're not. What's your response to that?
I make this very clear. So as of right now, fraternities and sororities, there's different procedures, so there's no one standard. They conduct pseudo-investigations currently. So when I was assaulted, students that are 19, 18, 20 years old who have zero experience as an investigator, zero experience handling these cases, or they have no background in this, right? And so, yeah, I think I like that point. You know, why are students doing this? Why are students being put in positions that they have no experience in, right? Mm-hmm. So I agree with Greek life on that point. So yeah, so let's put it to the Title IX office. That's their job.
So I wonder, so prior to coming up with this idea, this approach, like what are some of the other ideas that are out there? How did you, I wonder, come to this conclusion that mandatory reporting is the most effective solution for you?
Yeah, so I definitely sat on this. I definitely did a lot of research. I definitely talked to a lot of experts about what was the best way to move forward. The way I see it is, first, we need to identify that there's a problem. So if you think you're sick and you go to the doctor's office, first you do a diagnosis and then you do treatment. People want to skip the data collecting step and they want to go straight to treatment. But how do you know what's the best treatment? How do you know what's the best education practices to tackle this problem if we don't even know it's a problem? Right now, the Cleary report says there's like 6 incidents of sexual assault. So we don't technically have a problem.
Do you worry at all that this kind of idea, just because it's called mandatory reporting, like you said, you don't love that word for it, and because students on campus would know that that is something that's now required, that they would be more concerned about even going to one of their peers within one of these organizations to talk about something like this if this were in place?
Well, yes, I think that's a huge concern, and that's why it's not mandated for every member or every leader in a club. Mm-hmm. It's only the top leaders. I understand the fear of not wanting it to go out. But at the same time, it's obviously a really tricky situation, right? Because these incidents are allowed to happen because they stay quiet. But at the same time, a victim almost wants to stay quiet so that they can heal, right?
Yeah.
And so it is tough trying to deal with that. But the way I see it is that we have to find some sort of middle ground. We have to tackle this way. And so there has to be some sort of compromise, or there has to be some sort of way we're able to better collect this data and also at the same time make sure to give a survivor all the resources that they need and then not forcing them to go through the reporting process. I feel like the rule that's in place that mandates responsible employees, basically mandatory reporters, to report to the Title IX office is a good policy because it doesn't force the survivor to go through the process. So when it happened to me, the office reached out to me, said these are your resources, didn't force me to go through the legal process at all.
Right.
And I feel like doing that same thing for the top members of the club is a good policy, and it's one that's practiced at many universities.
So you're talking about sort of getting a better count, a better big picture idea of how broad the problem is on a campus like at UCSD there. So what do you hope to gain from that? Like, what would the next step be if something like this were in place and you were able to get better numbers?
It's almost hard for me to call the next step, which is why I haven't even laid out a roadmap for that. And it almost sometimes is what my critics will point at right away. But I can't put out the next steps because I don't know what the data says. I don't know. We'll have to see what it says and then interpret it. For example, what if there's only one fraternity that's really behind all these incidents? Maybe we just need to reprimand them, or maybe they can face penalties as far as maybe not recruiting for a year or a quarter or whatever that looks like. But I don't know. What if it's widespread? Then, you know, obviously then we need to have all fraternities and sororities to have more education. I don't know what that data looks like. So it's hard to say what are the next steps. I can only give examples sort of what I just did right now.
Yeah. All right. That's Jake Henry, a student at UCSD who is pushing for mandatory reporting of the top leaders in student organizations. Jake, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Thank you.